Ballinger, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, February 26, 1905. Dear Brother Ballinger, I received your letter on Friday, and we feel deep sympathy with you in your emergency. I wish that Sister Hall could spend some time with you, but she is under engagement to leave us in 2 or 3 weeks to stay with her relatives for a while. I have been trying to think of someone who could go to your assistance, but we do not know exactly what you want. Sister Hall has been telling me of a friend of hers, a Miss Weber, who worked with her for a time in the Battle Creek Sanitarium. Miss Weber has had a long experience in sanitarium work and has diplomas from 2 schools at least. She is thorough in all that she does and is as firm as a rock to duty and principle. I think she would answer your purpose. She would come to California if we asked her to. But even though we should decide to send for Miss Weber, I suppose it would be necessary to get someone to fill the place till she could get here. If necessary, I could spare my matron, Mrs. Nelson, who is an excellent cook and caretaker, and who has taken part of the nurse's course in Battle Creek. I have asked Mrs. Ings to consider the matter and see if there is anyone at the sanitarium here who could fill the bill. I could barely mention the matter to her, as it was Sabbath, and I had only a few minutes in which to talk with her before going to the chapel to speak. I asked her to report to me after the Sabbath, and I shall doubtless hear from her soon. Please let me know whether you have anyone in mind who could fill the vacancy. Of course, you will stand by, and your wife might be able to help until we can make other arrangements. Perhaps Sister Howard could come in for a while until a suitable matron could be found. I can think of no one more competent than Miss Weber. I know her to be a faithful woman, one who will show a care for things indoors and out of doors. Sister Hall has just received a letter from her saying that she will be coming to California in about 2 months. Brother Ballinger, I am very desirous that the buildings and land that we design to purchase shall not be allowed to pass into other hands. I think we ought to obtain this property, even if $4,000 are asked for it. If we had only purchased it before the rain came, what a good thing it would have been. We must ask the Lord so to arrange matters that we can obtain this property. We shall need every foot of the land. I hope, Brother Ballinger, that when you see a suitable place in Redlands, which could be used as a sanitarium, offered for sale at a reasonable price, you will let us know about it. We shall need a sanitarium in Redlands. Unless we start an enterprise of this kind, others will. I understand that the property owners are afraid that consumptives will come in, and thus the reputation of the place be spoiled. But of course, we should make it clear that we were not going to establish a consumptive's home. I merely mention this matter so that you and Brother Burden may keep it in view. We shall not take any steps to establish a sanitarium in Redlands until we can be assured that we are doing the right thing. Brother Burden and you can visit the place from time to time and see what openings there are. And in all that you do, be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Our sanitarium work is one of the most successful means of reaching such people as live in Redlands and bringing the truth before them. We must educate, educate, educate pleasantly and intelligently. We must preach the truth, pray the truth, and live the truth, bringing it with its gracious, health-giving influences within the reach of those who know it not. As the sick are brought into touch with the life-giver, their faculties of mind and body will be renewed. But in order for this to be, they must practice self-denial and be temperate in all things. Thus only can they be saved from physical and spiritual death and restored to health. When the human machinery moves in harmony with the life-giving arrangements of God, as brought to light through the gospel, disease is overcome and health springs forth speedily. When human beings work in union with the life-giver who offered up his life for them,
Happy thoughts fill the mind. Body and mind and soul are sanctified. Human beings learn of the great teacher, and all upon which they look ennobles and enriches the thoughts. The affections are drawn out in gladness and thankfulness to the Creator. The life of the man who is renewed in the image of Christ is as a light shining in darkness.
Adam listened to the specious sophistry of Satan and received it as truth. He had originally the wonderful gift of a sinless nature, but he listened to the falsehoods of the one who fell from his first estate. Satan exercised his hypnotism upon him, and Adam, listening to him, sinned, and thus opened the door through which the enemy could ever after gain access to human beings. Adam and Eve lost the spiritual life that would have been theirs by continual endowment. Christ came to this world bearing a message freighted with redemption. To all who receive him as a personal Savior, he gives power to become the sons of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. John 1, verse 14, 16. All who become the sons of God are possessed of his nature. They are the objects of his love and special affection. They dwell in Christ as Christ dwells in God. Knowing the power of his grace, they are commissioned and qualified to bear the message of salvation to a sinful world, to make known his grace and truth. As they consecrate themselves wholly to God, the grace they impart will be continually renewed in increased measure. Converted to the truth, imbued with the Holy Spirit, they are under the transforming influence of divine grace. The life of self-indulgence they once lived has been changed to a life of service. They become sons of God, spiritual children, adopted into the Lord's family.